Those caps, I'll put them right here. Good morning. I hope you're doing good today. I want to give you a couple of prayer requests, remembering your prayers today. Please remember the fire that is going on down in Anderson. It was there in the Ollie's building. Also, the Wilderness Way Girls Thrift Store has burned and had a lot of problems there. So please remember that whole section of the mall, that strip mall. And then also remember Kurt and Jeanette. They were in an accident Thursday night. They're okay but sore. But do remember them in your prayers. And then also remember Mike Hall. Mike will be having a heart cath on Tuesday to try to figure out what's going on and what's happening there within the issues that he's having. So just remember Mike Hall in your prayers. Remember Miss Debbie. Bad part is that he can go into hospital, but she cannot. They will not let her in, and she'll have to sit in the car the whole time they do the heart cath on him. So do remember Mike in your prayers. As you know, we always bring everybody up. We pray over them, lay hands on them. This morning we can't do that because of the coronavirus and stuff, but this morning what I want you to do is we pray. I want you just to reach your hand out like you're putting your hand on Mike's shoulder. And this morning, I want us to pray over Mike and over the surgery he's about to have with this heart cath he's about to go through. So let's pray. Father God, we just humbly bow before you this morning. Father, we know, Lord, that, Lord, we're still in uncertain times. Lord, we still don't know what all is going on for sure and what's going to happen, what's not going to happen from moment to moment. And Father, we just pray your hands continue to be upon us, be upon all that's going on. Father, we do thank you, Lord, that a lot of the numbers with the coronavirus are beginning to flatten out and beginning to decline. And, Lord, that is a great praise report in different areas around the U.S. And, Father, we do pray in the days to come that you'll just continue to take care of this virus, continue taking care of your people as only you can. And, Father, we do remember Kurt and Jeanette this morning. We pray your hands be upon them. Lord, we do remember Tracy today as she's at home sick. We pray you strengthen her body during this time and just meet the needs that are there. Father, I do remember Mike Hall, Lord, as he will be having a heart cath on Tuesday morning. Father, I pray that your hands this morning would be upon him, as you strengthen him like never before. Equip his body for what lies ahead of him in the days to come. Be with the doctors, nurses, all that will be working with him Tuesday morning. Father, I pray that you would just give them great godly wisdom from you, and Father, the wisdom of Almighty God to know what needs to be done and how to do it in these coming days to help him get better and stronger. Father, if he needs a stent, Lord, we pray you'd be able to do that. He'd be able to take care of it. Everything would be easy. Be no issues or problems there. But, Lord, just strengthen his body, Lord. Be with Miss Debbie. Lord, I know she's a little nervous that she's not going to be able to be in with him. And, Father, just strengthen her during this time, Lord. Meet the needs that are there in her life. And, Father, use her as a great instrument of your hands, Lord, to help minister to Mike during this time. Lord, we just thank you for all you're going to do. Father, this morning we just ask you to inhabit the praises of your people today. Father, to fill this place like never before. Father, to everyone in this community, everyone in our neighborhood would know that Almighty God is here, that you are risen and a holy Savior. And Father, that today we serve a Savior who is alive and well today. Father, we thank you for that. Father, we ask you to be with us this morning, Lord, that you'd strengthen us, that you'd meet every need in our life like never before. We'll be sure to thank you and praise you just this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. In your packets, you have your tithing envelope. You have your songs that we'll be singing. So I want you to sing along with us this morning and worship to our Lord. And then you also have my sermon outline on the back page for you to follow along with us this morning as we, hopefully this morning, completely worship a holy and risen Savior today who is worthy of all of our praise, our honor, and our glory. At this time, I'm going to turn it over to our praise team. Our first song this morning is This Could Be the Cloud He's Coming Back On.
Good morning. We're going to be singing a really uplifting song this morning, so we want you to really get into this. This may be the cloud he's coming back on, and you know what? He may be coming back very soon. But I wanted to say something this morning. They told me Mike was going to have his heart cath. I just got to thinking after that, boy, I sure would love to have a hug from one of my friends Pastor Shane. But guess what? I couldn't. And I thought, oh my goodness, the one thing I'm missing so bad right now is to be able to get a hug, because I'm a hugger, a big hugger. And guess what? Mike's an even bigger hugger. He's a real hugger. So we're going to do something this morning. If you've been missing hugging, we got our horns three times, and that means here's a hug and I love you. So if you've been missing a hug this morning, here we go. One, two, three. Okay, now join with us on this song. Uplifting song, and our spirits are going to be uplifted this morning.
Thinking that this may be the exact day that Jesus would sound for a cry. There was nothing but blue sky, one little white cloud slowly slipping along. I got so excited that I shouted out loud, this may be the cloud he's coming back on. This may be the cloud he's coming back on, for we all know that it's not long. Besides all the learning, point to his returning, and I've got a longing for home. I keep my eyes on the sky, and I'll do what he's saying. Soon I will hear Jesus cry. Gave a trumpetful sound, and I lift off the ground to the cloud that he's coming back on. When you're feeling just a little blue, don't let your troubles get you down. Leave your sorrows behind. Step outside. Take the time to look all around. Keep your eyes on the sky. Get ready to fly. When you see the clouds slipping along, you may get so excited that you shout it out loud. This may be the cloud he's coming back on. This may be the cloud he's coming back on. For we all know that it's not long. Besides for the learning, point to his returning, and I've got a longing for home. I keep my eyes on the sky, and I'll do what he said to. Soon I will hear Jesus cry. Gabriel's trumpet will sound, and I'll lift off the ground to the cloud that he's coming back on. This may be the cloud he's coming back on. Know that it's not long. The signs for the learning point to his returning, and I've got a longing for home. I keep my eyes on the sky, and I'll do what he's saying. Soon I will hear Jesus cry. Gabriel's trumpet will sound, and I'll lift up the ground to the cloud that he's coming back on. Gabriel's trumpet will sound.
Okay, guys, the next song that we're going to be singing in just a minute talks about amazing love. And we all know that Jesus has the most amazing love there is. All we have to do is ask him for it. And those of us who already have, we already know, we already experience every day how much his amazing love means to us. Thank you.
amazing love that welcomes me, the kindness of mercy that bought with blood wholeheartedly my soul undeserving. God, you're so
so.
This time we're going to ask our ushers to come forward this morning as we take our offering this morning. Hope you've had a great week this week. I posted last night on our Facebook page that I was so missing each and every one of you, so missing services. Being able to be in God's house, to be able, as Debbie said earlier, to hug each other and to love on each other. I think that's my part that I'm missing the most, is being able to fellowship with each one and to love on each one. I'm missing our Sunday nights. I'm missing Wednesday nights. I'm missing just the interaction with each other. And I tell you, I can't wait till this is over and we can get back in our sanctuary and we can begin to love on each other, begin to worship with each other, and just begin to truly cry out to a holy and almighty God in the time that we're in. At this time, as our ushers have come forward, we're gonna pray this morning. Let's pray. Father God, we just humbly bow before you today. Father, I just thank you, Lord, for loving us. I thank you for this opportunity to be able to assemble. Father, I thank you, Lord, that we're not in a state or in an area where they have told churches that they can't even meet in any way, even in the parking lot, Father. Father, I praise you, Lord, that today we have a governor who is willing, Lord, to work with the churches because he understands how important the church is. He understands how important the church is during this crisis, during this time of season that we're in America. And Lord, he also understands that we need to be safe. We need to be as safe as we can. But Lord, he's been so on board to allow us to freely assemble, to freely worship, to freely go about our God-given right, our constitutional right, to worship a holy God as we see fit. And Father, I thank you for that. Lord, I pray you'd continue to bless him. I pray you'd use him. Those that are in South Carolina, Lord, I pray you'd minister to them and strengthen them in each and every way. Father, I do pray for our president and our vice president, those on the medical team that's leading the coronavirus outbreak. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen each and every one of them. Give them wisdom and knowledge to know what needs to be done and how to do it, Father, each and every day. Father, I pray that you would give them the great wisdom of Almighty God, that godly wisdom, Lord, I pray you'd pour out upon them. And Father, I pray you'd strengthen them during this time. Father, I do remember those in our church family that are sick, Lord. Lord, I do remember Wilderness Away with the fire today there in the thrift store. Lord, I pray you'd strengthen the ministry there. I pray you'd move in mighty ways. I pray that you would rebuild and restore and recover all that's been taken away through the fire today. And Father, I do remember Mr. Mike. Lord, continue to strengthen his body. Lord, we'll be sure to thank you and praise you. And Lord, we ask you to bless this offering that we're about to receive, that it be used for the building of your kingdom, Lord. Lord, the ministry has not stopped in this time, Lord. Lord, we've been reaching out and doing many other things, Lord, from feeding others, Lord. We've applied for a couple of grants through the South Carolina Baptist Convention and Greenville Baptist Association, Lord, to even be able to do more things that we didn't have money to be able to do, but now may have the money to be able to do some of those additional things here in our own community and neighborhood, Lord. I pray you'd open up those right doors, strengthen us, meet those needs in our life, Lord, as we serve you in a mighty way. Thank you for what you're going to do. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. Thank you. Amen. What a beautiful song Miss Debbie was playing, Greatest Thy Faithfulness. I'm so glad our God is faithful, even in the midst of these trials and troubles that we're going through now. What a faithful God we serve. Why don't you give the Lord a horn blow this morning? Amen. Amen. Our next song we're going to sing is I Stand Amazed in the Presence, and also Because He Lives Medley. So this time I turn it over to our praise team.
Presence, Jesus the Nazarene, and Lord.
Amen. What a beautiful song this morning. Turn with me to John chapter 21 this morning. John chapter 21. We're going to look at verses 1 through 19 this morning. And I hope that this morning, I know many, even in our day, are wondering the question, what's next? What's going on? I want us to look today. Last week we looked at the resurrection of Jesus, him raising from the dead. The natural question for his disciples as he died was, what's next in our life? What are we going to do next? What's going to happen? John chapter 21, verses 1 through 14 really gives us a picture this morning of what they were doing and what was going on in their life at this time. Jesus had been crucified. His disciples had scattered. They had gone back to their old life. They were scared and confused, and they had run for their lives, thinking they would be next to be crucified or to give their life for Jesus. And where did Jesus' resurrection begin to filter out? Jesus had come now to Galilee, and that's where we're at now. He'd come to meet the disciples. Some of the disciples had been out fishing all night long, and they had caught nothing at all during that time. And Jesus from the shore yells out and asks, "Do you have any meat? Is there anything to eat?" And they say, "No." I want you to understand, well, they had gone back to that old lifestyle, and what this picture shows us is there's nothing in that old lifestyle at all. That old lifestyle that we left and came out of for Jesus Christ, when he saved us and changed us, there is nothing in that old lifestyle at all that should be appealing to us, that should appease us, that should even look good to us in any way. Why? Because we should be living now in the greatness of what God has in front of us and what God has in store for us. Jesus tells them to cast their nets onto the other side. And he says something that amazes me. It says, you will find food. You will find fish. There will be fish there, Jesus says. So they do as he says. They cast their nets on the other side of the boat. And their nets are full. They are filled to capacity and almost to breaking point. And in that moment, Peter realizes that this is Jesus. And Peter, the one who has denied Jesus, the one who broke Jesus' heart in essence because of denying him three times, Peter dives into the water and begins to swim back to the shore. He can't wait for the boat to get back. He just dives in to try to get to Jesus as quick as he possibly can in this moment. The ministry of Jesus to his disciples before his death was one where he was teaching them, living with them, and pouring his life into them while doing great miracles to show them who Jesus truly was, the Son of Almighty God, the Savior of the world, the Messiah who would come to save all people. But I believe in John chapter 21, we begin to see a shift in the ministry of Jesus, in essence. Almost a new ministry of Jesus began to break forward in the life of his disciples after his resurrection. We begin to see something different completely, in essence, in a lot of ways with Jesus. Look at John 21, verse 15 through 19 with me this morning. So when they had eaten breakfast, Jesus saith to Simon Peter, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me more than these? He said to him, Yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, feed my lambs. He said to him again the second time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? He said to him, yes, Lord, you know that I love you. He said to him, tend my sheep. Verse 17, he said to him the third time, Simon, son of Jonah, do you love me? Peter was grieved because he said to him the third time, do you love me? And he said to him, Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you. Jesus said to him, feed my sheep. Most assuredly, I say to you, when you were younger, you girded yourself and walked where you wished. But when you are old, you will stretch out your hands, and another will gird you and carry you where you do not wish. This he spoke, signifying by what death he would glorify God. And when he had spoken this, he said to him, follow me. Let's pray. Father God, in the next few moments, Lord, I pray you'd open our hearts and minds to you today. Father, I pray you would speak to us, Lord, and in a mighty way you would show us this new ministry, in essence, this new working of you in the lives of the disciples, Lord, in the moment that they needed you the most right now. Father, how you began to work so tenderly and lovingly within Peter and the other disciples' lives. Father, open our hearts to that, Lord, this morning. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I want to share with you this morning about really this new ministry, I want to say, of Jesus to his disciples. I'm giving you two words on each point this morning, and I'm going to share about these, and I want you to grab hold of these this morning. Number one, forgiveness and love. Peter denied Jesus three times. He needed forgiveness from Jesus. He had hurt Jesus. He had broken, in essence, he had broken that heart of Jesus in that moment when Jesus had knew and heard that he had denied him. Can you imagine being Peter and being around Jesus in this moment? How Peter was feeling around him, wondering if Jesus would bring up what Peter had done at any moment. Peter did not deserve forgiveness or love from Jesus in any way. But Jesus pours out his mercy and his love and his forgiveness upon Peter. What a picture we see unfold here in this passage. Jesus goes to Peter and tenderly pours out love and forgiveness on Peter. Here Peter is broken and hurt and in pain because of what he's done to Jesus. And instead of Jesus punishing him, instead of Jesus pushing him away, instead of Jesus hurting him in any way, what Jesus does is lovingly as that servant that he showed himself to be when he washed the disciples' feet there at the Last Supper, Jesus humbles himself as that loving Savior and he goes to Peter and he lovingly loves Peter and forgives him for what Peter has done. No matter what you have done to Jesus today, no matter what you have done in any way in your life, Jesus loves you and he loves me. And when we turn from our sinfulness and turn to him for salvation through faith in Jesus and Jesus alone, God pours out his love and his mercy upon us through his Son, Jesus Christ. Through his Son's death, burial, and resurrection, God has poured out the love of Almighty God upon me and upon you in the way we can never earn it, never deserved it, and never should have had it, just like Peter. Peter didn't deserve it, but Jesus gave love and forgiveness to Peter in Peter's worst time of need in his life. Secondly, restoration and hope this morning. Remember, Peter denied Jesus three times, and Peter had run away. He had left because he was broken and he was hurting. The pain and the guilt of what Peter had done was hard for him to deal with and hard for him to live with. So what does Peter do? He turns his back on everything Jesus had taught him for 3 years, and he runs back to his old life. He runs back to fishing. Peter willingly leaves everything behind with Jesus in that moment as he runs off on his own. As he runs back to that old life that he had lived. Peter was broken over what he had done. In that moment, Peter was looking for hope from Jesus. He was looking for Jesus, not only to forgive him, but to bring hope back into his life of who Jesus truly was and who Jesus truly is today. Would Jesus accept Peter back and forgive him and love him? Or would Jesus push Peter away and punish him for what he had done by denying Jesus? In this moment, we see probably the most beautiful picture after the resurrection that we see. Jesus in this moment holds nothing against Peter. He holds nothing against Peter in any way for what Peter has done. Jesus gives hope to Peter that he desperately needed in this moment. Jesus did not make Peter do anything to earn forgiveness. Jesus gives restoration to Peter and restores Peter back to his original position in the disciples. Jesus didn't make him start over. Jesus didn't make him earn everything back. Jesus willfully and freely bestows everything back upon Peter in an act of restoration in Peter's life. Jesus brings and gives full restoration back to Peter. Maybe today you've denied Jesus or you chose something over Jesus and you feel like Peter does today. You feel like Peter with no hope, with need of being restored back into a loving relationship with Almighty God. You feel like Jesus can never love you again. He can never forgive you for what you've done. He can never bring restoration back into your life and restore you back to what the enemy has stolen from you in your walk. I want you to know that no matter what you've done, Jesus restores all when we come to Jesus. We come back to Him. When we ask Him to forgive us of our sin, Jesus restores us when we repent of that sin in our lives and in our walk. Why? Because Jesus loves me and you. Jesus not only loves us, but He proved it for us on the cross of Calvary. He gave His life and He stretched forth His arms on Calvary for me and you, that whosoever comes to Him with open arms shall be saved, shall be redeemed, shall be restored in Him, and restored back to that relationship with Almighty God that Adam and Eve originally had in the garden before they sinned and chose something else over God. God is a restorer today of the broken. God is a restorer today of those who have no hope. He's a restorer of those who are in need of forgiveness today. God is a restorer. Jesus in this moment brought restoration and hope to Peter and the other disciples. They were broken over what they had done by leaving Jesus, by running away from Him. And they needed Jesus to pull them back to where they needed to be with Him. Thirdly, this morning, encouragement and calling. Peter needed encouragement from Jesus in this moment. He was broken. And Jesus met Peter where he was. In his brokenness, guilt, shame, and pain, Jesus meets Peter right there, and Jesus gives Peter everything Peter needed in that moment. He encourages Peter. He strengthens Peter. He meets the very need of Peter's life in this moment. Jesus doesn't just encourage Peter. He calls Peter to a great call and mission to serve Jesus again. Jesus asked Peter three times if Peter loves Him. And then Jesus says, if you love me, feed my sheep or my lambs. Tend to my sheep or my lambs. Jesus was calling Peter to a greater work than he had ever done before in his life. Even in 3 years where he had walked with Jesus, Jesus now is calling Peter to even greater and further beyond that than he could ever imagine he could do. Before the resurrection, Jesus was teaching, training, and pouring himself into the lives of his disciples. After the resurrection, Jesus is asking them to teach others, to train others, and to pour their lives into other people. What a calling from Jesus that he gives to the disciples in this moment. This is the calling Jesus gives to all those through the Great Commission who know Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20. Jesus calls every child of God to go on this mission for Him, to go on this job and this work for Him. We're to teach others, to train them, to pour our life into other people as Jesus has poured His life into us. If you're a saved child of God, the calling in your life is to reach people with the gospel of Jesus Christ, to teach them, to train them, to disciple them to maturity in Jesus Christ by pouring your life into them today. Our job as Christians, when we disciple someone, is to live life with them. That's what Jesus did on a daily basis with His disciples for over 3 years. Daily, He lived with them. He walked with them. He ate with them. He slept beside them. He was there with them. They shared in His life as He shared His life with them. That is what Jesus is calling me and you to do today, to share our life with others as they walk alongside of us and mature in their walk with Jesus Christ, and become that disciple of Jesus that He has called them and called us to be today. What was the next step for the disciples? They needed forgiveness and love from Jesus. They needed restoration and hope from Jesus. And they needed encouragement and a renewed calling from Jesus in that moment. The disciples in that moment had a choice to make. Will we follow Jesus wholeheartedly and sell out and surrender to Him and do all He's asking us to do from now on till the death in our life? Or will we go back to that old lifestyle and stay in it? And in this moment, the disciples decide to walk wholeheartedly with Jesus and Jesus only from that moment on. Disciples go on into a great life of serving Jesus Christ. But it was also a hard life for each of them. Each of them died a very cruel death except for one of them. 11 of them or 10 of them here, they died a death of martyrdom. They were killed for their faith in Jesus. John was the only one that lived an old age and died of, in essence, natural causes. But that was only because he survived his own execution. They took boiling oil and they poured it over him and on him. And he survived that execution that they were trying to kill him with. He'd have been burnt from head to toe. He was hurting and in pain. And what do? They take him and they exile him to the Isle of Patmos. And there we begin to see revelations unfold, and we see Almighty God do something mighty in his life, even though he's in pain. When you're burned, it hurts. It's a pain, and it's miserable pain. John was burnt all over his body, and now he's exiled to the Isle of Patmos, an island that had a lot of sand. You know what sand does when it gets into a burn, when it gets into a tender spot. It irritates it, and it hurts it even more. John would have been in miserable pain there on the Isle of Patmos because of living and surviving through his execution. The disciples in this moment had a choice. What was next for them? We can either sell out to Jesus or we can walk away. We can go back to what we were doing before, fishing and living our old life. But in this moment, when Jesus in verse number 19 says, "Follow me," his disciples follow him wholeheartedly. They sell out everything they have for Jesus in this moment. Each of us this morning have come with a need in our lives. What is your need today in your life? Do you need Jesus to forgive and love you this morning? Is there sin in your life, and today you need to confess that before a holy and almighty God? And you need to ask Almighty God to forgive you of that sin that is in your life today? Today is the day that you need to come to a saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. Do you need to ask Jesus to come into your heart and save you this morning so you may experience that forgiveness and love of Jesus for the very first time? Do you need Jesus to bring restoration and hope to your life? Are you like the disciples? Are you broken and battered because of what you've done? Because you've walked away in some area of your life from Jesus, and you need that restoration of Almighty God to bring you back to where you should be with him. That hope that is infused and is put into your life today that calls you to a greater walk with him. Or today, do you need Jesus to bring encouragement and strength in your life so you can move forward with Jesus Christ in the calling that Jesus has called you to do in your life, to be the child of God, to be the disciple who makes disciples in a lost and dying world today? What is the need that is in your life and in my life today that only Jesus can meet, just like he met in the life of the disciples over 2,000 years ago? I'm going to ask you to bow your head and close your eyes this morning. Right there where you are, I'm going to ask you to be honest with the holy and almighty God. I'm going to ask you to let Almighty God sift you and show you what areas in your life and my life need to change with him today. And for him to show your need, do you need forgiveness and love? Do you need restoration and hope? Do you need encouragement in the calling to serve Almighty God that he's given to me and you in the Great Commission? Wherever you are right this moment, I want you to know that Jesus loves you. Jesus died on a cruel, rugged cross for you and for me. Not only to show you he loved you, but to prove how much he loved you. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, I'm going to pray a simple prayer. And for the first time, you humble yourself this morning and you truly want to ask Jesus into your heart to save you, I'm going to ask you to humbly pray this prayer silently to yourself, but mean it with all of your heart. Dear Jesus, I know that I'm a sinner. I know that means I've done things that are wrong. I've broken your heart, and because of that, I'm separated from you. Jesus, I ask you today to forgive me of my sins. I ask you to come into my heart and save me. And Lord, I ask you in the days to come to help me live as a child of God you've called me to be. Thank you, Jesus, for coming into my heart and saving me. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Maybe today what you need is restoration, hope, encouragement, and calling from Almighty God today to serve him as he's asked you to serve him. Maybe this morning, maybe today you're broken. Maybe there's sin in your life. Maybe there's guilt and pain and shame in your life. And today you need God Almighty, you need Jesus Christ to restore you to that awesome walk with him and to give you the hope that you so desperately need today to walk boldly in him. If that's you this morning, I'm going to ask you to pray this prayer with me right there where you're at. Dear Jesus, Lord, you know there's things in my life that need to be right with you, and I ask you this morning to forgive me of those areas. Father, I ask you this morning to restore me back to the walk with you that I so desperately need. Lord, that walk with you that is awesome, that joy of Almighty God, that joy of my salvation, Lord, restore that unto me this morning. Father, bring that hope into my heart, into my life right now, that I know, not only am I saved, but that every day with you, I can live the Christian walk. I can be an example for you every single day of what a child of God truly is. Father, thank you today that you bring restoration and hope to those who need it the most. In Jesus' name I pray, amen. And lastly, maybe this morning, I hear those horns. Maybe this morning you need that encouragement to walk with Almighty God. You need that strength that he can provide for you, that you walk wholeheartedly in him, you surrender your all to him, and you walk in the calling that he has called you to reach other people for Jesus Christ. I'm going to ask you to pray this simple prayer with me, to rededicate, to recommit your life unto him, that you're going to sell out and surrender to him no matter what and walk faithfully with him. Dear Jesus, Lord, this morning I come back to you, Father. Father, I thank you, Lord, that I never lose my salvation. But, Lord, there are areas in my life that have separated me from where I should be with you. Lord, today I ask you to forgive me of those areas. Lord, I ask you to strengthen me right now. Father, I ask you to encourage me in my walk with you that I may be strengthened through you today. That I may walk wholeheartedly in a surrendered walk in life with you from this moment forward. Father, that I'd be willing as the disciples were willing to give my life for Jesus as Jesus has given his life for me. Lord, that I would be willing to walk in that kind of surrender and faithfulness to you. Father, thank you for calling me not only to be your child, but Father, thank you for the high calling that you've given that I may walk with you as your child and I may reach others for you with the gospel of Jesus Christ. Help me to live in the days to come as that child of God you call me to be, as that disciple, as that holy, committed, surrendered child of God unto a holy and almighty God who has saved me through faith in his Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Jesus, for loving me so much. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I hear those. Amen. Amen. I love each and every one of you. I know for us it's very hard as a church family not to be able to assemble together and love on each other like we normally do. But I want you to know the day is coming. And when that day comes, we're going to be awesome in an awesome time of love display to each other as we love and hug on each other again in God's holy house. The day's coming and I can't wait. I love each of you today, and I hope each of you this week will go deeper with God this week than you've ever gone before. I hope you'll be the servant for him today that he's called you to be. I hope this week will be an awesome week for you and him in your relationship this week. Thank you so much for being here today. You're dismissed. Hope you have a great week this week, and God bless each of you.
Joy.